Thank you. Huh?
That got your attention.
Wouldn't that make national news, wouldn't it? Good afternoon. It is Wednesday, December 1st, 2010, and City Council will come back from recess. It's 2 p.m. Hi, Carla.
Hello.
Could you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Adams?
Here. We have two time certain items. The first is at 2 o'clock, and the second is at 3:30. One is a report, and one is an emergency ordinance. So, starting with the 2 o'clock time certain, can you please read the title to item number 1554?
Report from the Police Oversight Stakeholder Committee.
Commissioner Randy Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. Before I give my remarks, if I could have John Campbell maybe come forward and bring anybody you need to bring. I want to give just a little history to what brings us to today. On March 31st, 2010, the council adopted an ordinance unanimously that in very fundamental ways changed Portland's oversight system of the Portland Police Bureau. That ordinance did some, as I said, very fundamental restructuring of the overview process. And to remind the council of what that included, the independent police review is now, as a result of that ordinance that we adopted, a full voting member of the police review board. The independent police review also has access to police data and the data sources, which was an important change. The city auditor now, as opposed to the police chief, appoints and recommends for council approval the citizens to the two review boards. And if the council recall, one of the review boards is a non-use of force, five-person board that the Bureau has three members on appointed by the chief, and two members of that body are non-police members. One is the IPR director, and the second is a civilian appointed by the auditor, confirmed by the council. The second board is the use of force board, which is a seven-person board. The ordinance now recognizes that four of those members will be from the police bureau, appointed by the police chief. Three civilian members, one, again, is the IPR director. Two are appointed civilians by the auditor, confirmed by the council. The ordinance also allows IPR to have the authority to initiate investigations on its own volition. It allows the IPR to issue subpoenas, and it gives the authority to IPR to reject police investigations if they, the IPR, believe that the investigation is incomplete or needs further review. Those are significant changes that we have yet to have the opportunity to see in full effect because they are just now being implemented, and we look forward in the next months and years to see, in fact, how these changes work in the police bureau as opposed to the discussions we've had up till now. As part of that ordinance, we also created, if the council recalls, a stakeholder committee that was formed to offer additional recommendations for further oversight of the police bureau. If you'll recall, I was the point person from the council to that committee. I attended each of the meetings. The first meeting took place on May 27th, 2010. We, subsequent to that, had a meeting June 10th, July 1st, July 15th. We had a meeting August 12th and then a meeting September 16th, and we even had a subcommittee that met in addition
many times
to those meetings to help us sort through some of the issues. Auditor LaVon Griffin-Vallade attended the meetings. I was very pleased and happy to see Police Chief Mike Reese attend each of the meetings. I want to also recognize the committee members before we begin this discussion day so the council gets the flavor of the report that we got. Truly was a cross-section of people that involved themselves. Warren Yamez from Mayor Adams' office, Dora Perry, Tom Bazo from Commissioner Fritz's office, Jim Blackwood, George Hawker from Commissioner Fish's office, Shannon Callahan from Commissioner Saltzman's office, from my office, Ty Kovach, Stu Oishi, the auditor, as I said, LaVon Griffin-Vallade, the IPR director, Mary Beth Batista, Constantine Severe, Irene Konev, the Citizen Review Committee, the CRC, Michael Bingham attended each of the meetings. From the city attorney's office, we had Lindsley Reese. As I said, Chief Reese was there, but Pat Walsh attended often as well. From Internal Affairs, we had Lieutenant Schober. Captain Brunfield attended. Commanding Officers Association, Dave Benson, Jim Ferraris, Robert King. From the PPA, we had Doug Justice, Daryl Turner, Dave Dobler. The Human Rights Commission included representatives Damon Isaiah Turner, Maria Lisa Johnson. From the ACLU, Andrea Meyer attended. From the Albino Ministerial Alliance, Dr. Haynes, who is here today. From Basic Rights, Oregon, Gina Frazzini. An organization known as Everyday People, Moses Rosen attended. In addition to Reverend Renee Ward, the Latino Network, Carmen Rubio, Maria Sereno, from the Center for Intercultural Organizing, I'm hoping I don't mispronounce the name, but Casey Jama, Andrew Riley, from the League of Women Voters, Debbie Iona, from the National Alliance of Mental Illnesses, Sylvia Zingaser. From the Lawyers Guild, Ashley Albize and Mark Kramer. From the Native American and Youth Family Center, Donita Sue Fry. From the Oregon Action Organization, Sally Joffin, Ron Williams. Portland Cop Watch, Dan Handelman. Sisters of the Road, Shani Geigel-Teller. From Truth and Justice for All, Skip Osborne. Joanne Bowman was a commissioner appointee. T.J. Browning was a commissioner appointee. Dorothy Elmore was a commissioner appointee. James Cahan was a commissioner appointee. And Gregory Williford was a commissioner appointee. I apologize for taking the time to read through that, but each of those folks came and spent a long time at each meeting throughout the summer. Everybody contributed well. It was a very dynamic process. We were fortunate to be led by the direction of the council to come up with the recommendations that we did, and I'm pleased now to turn this over, and please give us your perspective as our facilitator and sometimes mediator in the process. John Campbell, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard, and good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is John Campbell, and I'm president of Campbell Long Resources. We provided the facilitation and staff work for the committee. I was the lead facilitator, and Alicia Cash in our office provided much of the critical staff support for the project as well. With the report before you, the directive given to the committee by City Council back in March to recommend additional improvements to the city's oversight of the Portland Police Bureau has been met. While the committee did not complete its work in the 90-day timeframe defined in the ordinance, I think it's fair to say we honored the intent of that goal as best we could. This was quite a challenge. In the end, after covering as many topics as possible, through the July 15th meeting, an invitation was made for any interested community members to participate in a subcommittee that went through a series of pretty intense meetings to design a sort of ballot that would sort out to measure opinion about issues that had not otherwise been fully vetted in the committee. That process was fully concluded by the full committee September 16th meeting, which was consistent with the schedule specified in the original agreement with the city, which I believe is a pretty credible accomplishment given the challenges here. But before looking at the specifics of the report, I'd like to briefly comment about the journey it took to get there, as it certainly was an interesting one. While the work is called facilitation, in the real task in a situation like this is usually much more coach or referee as it is facilitator. In this case, I'd say the job was more referee than coach. I would probably add shuttle diplomat to that list as well. While we did achieve a list of recommendations that include quite a few around which there is high consensus, this was not accomplished without substantial acrimony and some stumbles along the way. And I think it's valuable to acknowledge those. While virtually every participant made important contributions, it took work to keep us focused on the goal ahead. The way forward was sometimes made more difficult by the occasional and apparently irresistible desire to use the meeting time to settle past scores or to use time between meetings to engage in activities that seemed to be intended more to delegitimize the work than to forward it. In addition, there were moments when the way forward was made more difficult by my own missteps as facilitators. While I knew the project would require some innovation, and it definitely did, at least one of the innovations did not work as intended, and it was a lesson learned for me. Yet, although there were challenges, the committee is made up of good people who, despite their very different viewpoints and different communication styles, managed to prevail and arrive at a set of items that the council can review and consider for future change. If I may, I'd like to orient you to a few key elements of the way the information is presented in the report. I'm not going to try to go through everything in the report, but sort of orient you to some of those issues. While some areas of broad consensus were reached and are noted in the report, and every recommendation described in the report earned the support of a great majority of committee members who expressed an opinion on it, it is also true that not every recommendation has the full support of every person or organization on the committee. As such, we've done our best in the report to characterize as clearly as possible the quality and nature of the agreement reached on the issue. I encourage you to look for those details in the report in order to understand the nature of the agreement that was reached. Also, while the checkmark graphic in the report is designed to indicate where high areas of consensus were reached in committee meetings, that is to say, no objections at all to those issues, it is also the case that on a very small number of those issues, they do not continue to retain full agreement today, which is why, for example, understanding both the report and the follow-up responses from the two agencies most involved in implementing these changes, the Auditor's Office and the Portland Police Bureau, will give you the most up-to-date picture of current positions on the issues. I also want to comment briefly on the specificity of language used in the report. While there are bolded headlines for each recommendation, it is important to emphasize that the descriptive language used was often chosen, rewritten, and further revised with some considerable care. Indeed, part of the challenge of facilitating a group like this is clarifying the underlying intent of any recommendation that a participant offers to see if doing so can allow a shared consensus to emerge where one was not apparent before. One example of that is there is even one of the recommendations in the report that in its original phrasing, when I checked with some city staff on their impression of the recommendation, they essentially said a version of no way is that ever going to happen, just won't support it. Then I went back to the individuals making the recommendation, asked them to be much more specific in clarifying what they meant. With the clarified language, I then returned to the same city officials and essentially got this response: well, if that's what's meant, well, that's something we already do. Now, sometimes there's that much distance that can be covered by clarifying language alone. And in other words, please read the specific words knowing that they were crafted with some attention to detail, because sometimes disagreements were questions of words and approach and communication style and not actually the underlying issues which we constantly search to find. Now on to the recommendations themselves. I won't summarize them all here because that would be redundant to the report and disrespectful of the specificity of language report issue I just described. Mainly, I'd like to emphasize these points. First, that there are some substantial areas of agreement that have met with full endorsement or no objection from all members of the committee. As you will see by reviewing the report, the response and the response memoranda that have been provided to you, there remains full agreement on issues that are headlined in the report as follows. And I'd just like to touch on those where there have been no objections. First, that there is it is understood by all that there is a high need to repair community distrust of use of force investigations. Everybody agrees in that general concept that there's great harm to the community when that distrust is low. that it is important to ensure that IPR conduct administrative investigations for various specified use of force situations and others that can be roughly grouped as high emotion in the community situations is agreed by all. That IPR should exercise the power to conduct or participate in investigations from zero time of specified serious incidents is agreed to by all. That investigations conducted by IPR or IAD and reviews by the CRC can always should always proceed in a manner that's consistently and objectively independent, and that it should be easier for the auditor to hire outside counsel is agreed by all. That the pool of investigators at both IPR and IAD should be diversified over time to include those with investigative experience who have not been police officers. That is something, again, everyone agrees on and is quite substantive. To formalize or mandate what's current practice to use mediation, to not use mediation, in serious use of force cases, and to continue what is apparently current practice so that IPR investigate or actively participate in the investigation of complaints with those of rank of captain or higher are examples of IPR changes. There are other recommendations that also have strong agreement, but not necessarily 100%, but those are ones that remain in strong agreement today. Regarding the CRC structure, all agree that CRC should have the authority and permission to make policy recommendations directly to the Portland Police Bureau. That's something that was high contention, people wanted to see happen, and there's agreement from all parties that makes sense. That people agree to increase the length of term for CRC members from 2 years to three, and that the CRC should always be able to exercise its authority to hold hearings on all appeals requested by complainants or bureau members, and that the code should clarify that the CRC has authority to present directly to City Council, which is, again, a major flashpoint for many participants, and that the size of the CRC should be increased, though some modified with if that's acceptable to the CRC in that process. There were some issues with openness and useful of reporting. Reporting on the mitigation process was complete agreement. There was also agreement on having another review in 2012, an expert review of the process. In the only recommendation endorsed by the committee that has to do with oversight unrelated to the complaint process, which is a general area that I think could bear more fruit, there was agreement that there is benefit in having the auditor's office provide regular reports on the status of the Bureau's employee information system and on an independent analysis of police stop data. And finally, among the consensus agreements, just to prove that I definitely was not a voting member, there was complete agreement that another stakeholder review should be held within 2 years. I'm not sure I would be near recovered by that point, but we'll see. But I will comment that if future stakeholder meetings are held, I would be happy to provide some reflection to any future facilitator about some key places where we misstepped and how it might be improved in the future, and be happy to do that. But note, the list I just read you includes 17 areas of essentially full agreement that were reached by the group. And as you look at the areas where perfect agreement was not reached, please keep in mind that real agreement does exist on some issues that are significant. Second, regarding those areas where a high percentage of committee members endorse a recommendation but objections were also raised, either during the committee or afterwards, I would go over all of those in detail. I won't go over them in detail, but broadly comment that you will be able to see in the information provided that some objections are quite fundamental, while others are associated with methodology rather than intent, and it's important to draw those distinctions. In addition, if there's one large theme that separates a number of the community stakeholders involved in the committee from those who were tasked with implementing the oversight process in city government, and an area that would have benefited by having more discussion and more detail that we really didn't get into in the committee, it is that while there is definitely agreement about safeguarding the assumptive role of the CRC as currently designed in city code, a number of community stakeholders present would prefer to expand the CRC's responsibilities in ways not currently anticipated in the code. And as I look at the responses received, it seems that that's an area that could have been deeper discussion in our committee to shake that one out more. However, that said, while it's the case that some recommendations do not reach the status of having earned full consensus, again, I urge you to keep in mind that many recommendations that are significant to the stakeholder concerns do enjoy full agreement. Finally, I'd like to thank every member of the committee who was willing to dig in and do some of the very difficult work to search for areas of agreement on this very contentious subject. And of course, most importantly, I certainly wish both the committee members and the City Council the best in helping Portland to achieve the one goal that I believe we can all agree on, and that is that we all want a still safer city where the experience of trust, mutual respect, welcome partnership, and effective problem solving between community and police is increasingly shared by all. So that's a very brief summary and about the journey that we took and the report provided. So.
Well, I certainly want to thank you on behalf of the entire City Council John, for the work you did. You did just exactly what I anticipated you would do. You navigated these waters methodically and professionally and kept us on track. And I want you to know I recognize how tough that is, particularly on a subject like this. And
yeah.
I'm indebted to you for performing the duty that you did. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Could you clarify or explain the status of the council's actions today?
So that has been the subject of some discussion with the auditor, myself, and various stakeholders. What I believed was the best thing to do today was to present the report. And it's probably because of how well this entire council worked together beginning a year ago this month in crafting the ordinance that passed at the end of March of this year, that I recommended that. I think that after we hear the testimony today, after we take into account what John has identified as the really areas that everybody agreed to, that that should help us decide what to bring forward in terms of amendments to the ordinance that we passed last March 31st. I also want very much, whether it's concurrent with the effort to bring another ordinance forward or independent of that, to observe how the new ordinance works in the new structure that we created. I think that's a very, very important thing to do. The police bureau has been hit with a lot of changes since a year ago this month. I'm not one normally to say we need to allow change that has occurred to settle in before we do any more, but I think at this point it would be a very responsible thing to do to make sure that the changes that we passed are fully implemented before we go into any more of the substantive kind of changes that the committee came up with. So I think from here on out, in short, we should thoughtfully get together, put together those items that we think are really non-controversial, that don't meddle with the changes that we made last March, and then from there analyze what happens.
So just to I appreciate that. Just to summarize what I think I heard, and for those that don't follow council process and procedures, just to clarify that this accepts the information. It does not mean that by voting to accept the information, it does not mean that we support it in whole or even in individual elements within it. This is a matter of concluding the work that was asked for, and then with the explanation that Commissioner Leonard just gave us for sifting through it, moving forward. I just didn't want anyone to come back in 3 months and say, yeah, but you voted to approve that council item. That's not what we're doing today.
But we have demonstrated, I want to make this real clear, each of us has demonstrated our commitment to having, on the one hand, a transparent police bureau, a transparent oversight, while on the other hand, wanting to make sure our police officers are as well trained, as well prepared, and as well equipped as possible to handle emergencies to keep this community safe. That sounds like an easy balance to achieve. I have learned in working on this subject, as John well knows, as an expert on this subject, that isn't quite as easy to achieve as one might suspect at first. So I think we need to, from here, walk carefully.
Thank you. Any other discussion with this, with John? Right. Do you have any other invited testimony? All right. How many people have signed up, Carla?
We have 12 people.
Please call them in order.
The first three, please come on up, are Michael Bingham, Debbie Iona, and Dan Handelman. They'll be followed by Sally Jolin, Mark Crema, and Jim Ferraris.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Again, just give us your first and last name. We don't want your address. And if you are lobbying on behalf of an organization, authorized to lobby on behalf of the organization, please let us know. Otherwise, if you don't declare that, we will assume you are speaking for yourself. Who'd like to begin?
I'll begin. My name is Michael Bingham. I'm the chair of the Citizen Review Committee. Mr. Mayor and members of the council, I appreciate the opportunity to to come before you and share my views. As always, it is a pleasure. I would like to thank John Campbell for facilitating the Stakeholders Committee, Randy Leonard for chairing the group, and finally, I'd like to thank you, the Council, for recognizing the importance of police accountability and empowering the community by creating the Stakeholders Group. I can't say that I agree with all the recommendations in the report, but I do believe that they are all worthy of discussion and consideration. I know your time is limited, but I would like to highlight two recommendations that we feel are important to the Citizen Review Committee. The first recommendation is to change the current standard of review in CRC appeal cases from the reasonable person standard to a preponderance of the evidence. The current standard is complex and to a layperson almost incomprehensible. Our vice chair, Jamie Troy, an attorney, tells me that there are full-day classes for attorneys on the reasonable person standard simply because of the complexity of the subject. If lawyers have a hard time understanding the standard, how are we expected to use it? The stakeholders group recommended the standard be changed to a preponderance of the evidence, which is currently used in civil law. The CRC agrees with this recommendation and would like to point out that by ordinance, the City Council is bound to use the reasonable person standard when considering appeals referred to you by the CRC. The other recommendation I would like to highlight is that of the dedicated staff person for the CRC. I would like to say that staff support has been, for the most part, excellent from the IPR. But on one occasion, a prior IPR director threatened to withhold IPR staff support if we proceeded in sending an appeal to the City Council. And earlier this year, we were denied staff support in pulling together a community forum. We weren't off the farm on either of these occasions. In both instances, we were performing duties well within our mission. One complaint I consistently hear from the community is that the CRC lacks the power or the independence to be truly effective in overseeing the Portland Police Bureau. Unfortunately, some of that criticism is valid. The CRC is tasked with providing civilian oversight of the Portland Police Bureau and auditing the performance of IPR. How can we do those jobs effectively and maintain our credibility with the community when staff support can be withheld from us unilaterally by IPR? If we are to be truly independent and credible, at the very least, we need guarantees that withholding such staff support will not be used in an attempt to influence our decisions. In conclusion, the stakeholders process hasn't always been smooth or without disagreement, but I do feel that this report is an important step in improving policing services to the City of Portland. Hope that the Council will seriously consider using the stakeholders' recommendations when crafting a future ordinance to strengthen police accountability. Thank you.
Oh, go? Okay. Hi, I'm Debbie Iona, representing the League of Women Voters of Portland. The League urges you to accept the stakeholder report today and supports its recommendations. Many will require additions or amendments to the code. We encourage you to begin drafting new language as soon as possible. Representatives from each commissioner's office participated in the committee and should continue to be involved along with community members. Each of you received detailed written comments from the League. I will highlight a few of those today. Increase public participation and transparency by making IPR Police Bureau Joint Policy Committees open to public observation and submit draft Bureau directives to the CRC for comment. These two actions will increase public understanding of police policies and help ensure they reflect not only good policing techniques, but community values as well. Improve the appeals process by allowing CRC the opportunity to review proposed allegations associated with a misconduct complaint prior to the investigation. Make it clear in city code that the CRC has the authority to send cases back for reformulation of allegations when necessary. Inappropriate, missing, and poorly formulated allegations have been a recurring problem at CRC hearings. Adopting these two measures will help prevent this in the future. Adopt preponderance of the evidence as the standard of review in appeal hearings. The current reasonable person standard has proved problematic and confusing over the years. Some argue that CRC is an appellate body, so the standard should not be changed. The CRC has the authority, however, to hear new evidence from the complainant, police officers, and the public. It can also send cases back for more investigation and challenge Bureau findings based on additional information. preponderance of the evidence is the appropriate standard. The report recommends that when IPR conducts an independent investigation, it do so in serious cases. The League encourages counsel to go a step further and require IPR to conduct independent investigations in certain cases. There is currently a great deal of public concern about the quality of investigations and police shootings. Requiring independent investigations in those cases would address that concern. Alternatively, counsel could require IPR to investigate all complaints affecting those with the rank of captain or higher. As you move forward, please keep in mind that formalizing the elements of an effective oversight system will ensure that it serves the public and stands the test of time. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council. I'm Dan Handelman. I'm here representing Portland Cop Watch. We hope you'll accept the Police Oversight Stakeholder Report. We would like to see all 41 of the recommendations incorporated into the ordinance and or directed by council to take place by whichever city body is appropriate. We urge the council to begin work immediately on drafting an ordinance to incorporate these recommendations. The changes made this past March deliberately did not change any of the powers or duties of the CRC, and the community asked for us to have input before such changes were made. We participated in the work group making compromises along the way and are hopeful that council will move forward with the changes as promised. While the management of the Bureau is not the same as it was at the time of the last changes, the purpose of civilian review is much like the checks and balances provided by judicial, legislative, and executive branches of our federal government. They are there regardless of how good or how terrible the people are who sit in those seats. Such checks and balances are needed for the police for the same reasons. And I've been to just about every single CRC meeting in the last 9 years and observed them and seen many people leave frustrated that essentially we have a police review board with its hands tied behind its back by the current ordinance. So we would like to see these changes happen. It's been 9 long years. So we kind of broke down the recommendations into 10 important areas. The first that you've heard about already, IPR should conduct independent misconduct investigations. They still have never done it. The recommendation lists, as Debbie mentioned, certain kinds of cases that we'd like to see investigated. We agree that it would be great if the council would mandate that IPR investigate shootings and deaths cases, but if that's too controversial, if you just start by ordering them to do the investigations of people with a rank of captain or above, which is another one of the recommendations, that would be at least a way for them to get their feet wet and start doing those independent investigations. Improve the Citizen Review Committee's standard of review. We've talked about this. Both these other folks have mentioned that the reasonable person standard is too confusing. The auditor's response to using the preponderance of evidence implies that the police review board will hear all the cases before CRC hears it. That's not true. And also the citizen who filed the complaint isn't allowed to speak at the police review board hearings. No citizen is allowed into the police review board except for the people who are on that board. So that CRC hearing is the first level hearing that actually accepts all the evidence, and there's a section of the ordinance that I've cited in my testimony that Debbie referred to that allows them to hear new evidence at their appeal. So they're not just reviewing the existing record. We also asked to actualize the current ordinance by empowering IPR to compel officer testimony through the bargaining process. That's going to have to be done and change the PPA's contract. Eliminate the conflict of interest when the city attorney advises IPR and PPB because there's a conflict between those two frequently. Fix up some of the misconduct terms that the Bureau has been changing administratively and just set them in stone in law so that they won't do that again. And then we're asking for some community input to be taken at the time people make complaints, and there's some confusion about this. We're not asking for people to be able to choose at this point if they want a civilian investigator or an IPR investigator. Just ask the question, if you had the choice, which one would you prefer? And then just have that survey so that the city has that information.
Dan, I have one question, if I could, Mayor. And you and I talked about this when you came to my office and briefed me on this. Number four in your letter to us is eliminate the conflict of interest when the city attorney advises IPR and PPB. Now, technically speaking, when there's a conflict of interest, the lawyer cannot give advice where there is an actual conflict. And I think it's helpful if you would clarify what you're referring to and in practical terms.
Right. Okay. So historically, and I know people don't like looking back, but that's the only way we can figure out how to move forward. is that in 2001, there was a, everybody probably remembers Jose Mejia was a day laborer who was shot in a mental hospital here by Portland police. 2 days prior to that, he was beaten up by the police when he didn't have 20 cents of his bus fare. And community members filed a complaint about the beating incident. And the IPR director and the auditor at the time, when the complaint came forward to the CRC, which was in 2003, told them that, with the city attorney's advice, that they were not going to review that case because there was a lawsuit pending about the shooting. And they said, this is about the beating, not about the shooting. And nonetheless, they were taking the advice of the city attorney, who was at that point trying to defend the city from litigation, from liability for the shooting of Mr. Mejia, and basically stopped the CRC from doing what they were needed to do. So it would figure that something like that could come up again, and there have been several cases that have come up that are in litigation. It would be great if, when such a thing happens, the CRC and the auditor would be able to consult with an independent counsel who's not part of the city attorney's office, that's not trying to defend the city against liability for the activities of the Portland police.
Other discussion from council with this esteemed panel of testifiers? All right, thank you all. Next three
are Sally Jogan, Mark Cromer, and Kramer, and Jim Ferraris.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the City Council.
My name is Sally Jockin. I moved to Portland a year and a half ago from New Haven, Connecticut, where I worked on criminal justice reform. New Haven is a similar progressive city, although much smaller, but I never saw there a police, city council, and community committee working together to solve problems like what I experienced here on the Stakeholders Committee. I was really impressed with our process and breadth of discussion, and I attended all of the extra meetings as well to help clarify language and intent. And I would like to commend John Campbell for all the extra time he put into that extra process to make the full committee meetings run more smoothly. City Council really needs to approve all the recommendations in our report that we worked many, many hours on. There are a lot of community people who feel there's no accountability for some of what police have done in Portland. These changes in the report would go a long way to restoring communication and better police-community relations. Two good examples in the report are items in number 3, A and B. I always hear people saying they want to have a specific police officer held responsible for whatever he or she did. So it's really important for them to know when someone is exonerated, whether the allegation was unfounded or whether there was insufficient evidence. Those are two different reasons. And they also need to know whether he or she acted in policy, because then they can start talking about what areas of policy need to be changed. And I think the list in Part B is important to have all those different areas. Another example is in letter C in the same, number 3, non-disciplinary complaint being substituted for service improvement opportunity. Sure, there may be an opportunity for improvement, and that may be in general what the police department wants to have happen. But I think that the community understands if there is no discipline, they want to know it's because it's a non-disciplinary type of complaint, so they'll expect, you know, the appropriate response there. And I could go on with many others, but I wanted to focus on those examples in number 3. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Appreciate it. Mr. Kramer.
Mr. Mayor and the Council, thank you. My name is Mark Kramer. I represent the National Lawyers Guild. We were a member of the Stakeholder Committee. I was also a member of Mayor Katz's task force 10 years ago. I applauded the council for the ordinance and for the stakeholder process, and particularly Mr. Campbell for facilitating the process. I want to make one process point and 4 policy points. The process point is where we go from here. Commissioner Leonard said, well, let's act as soon as possible on the consensus points, but let's not rush forward on the non-consensus points. And I take small issue with that. When we approved the ordinance, we indicated it was urgent, an emergency type of measure, but we also indicated that there were several other issues that needed to be tended to. Now we've tended to many of those issues, and while we don't have a full consensus on all of them, we have a supermajority on 99% of them. So with respect to the non-consensus issues, I would ask you not to defer. I'd ask you to engage in debate, discussion, and pass those measures, even if they don't receive a full consensus. I do not want to wait a year for some of these non-consensus decisions to be addressed. As to the particular issues that didn't reach consensus, the preponderance of the evidence standard, I want to draw some common sense perspective here. I'll give you the example of an OLCC. You denied a liquor permit, you have an OLCC hearing. You have due process, you can bring counsel, you can present witnesses, you can present documents. Standard is preponderance of the evidence. If you don't like what the OLCC does to you or for you, you can go to the Court of Appeals. At that point, there's a deferential standard. Okay? Almost a reasonable person. Can a reasonable person have agreed with what the OLCC did? Same thing in unemployment hearings. Here we have something different. What the reasonable person standard does, it is a dilution of the standard when you're presenting evidence to the CRC, because the CRC should be treated as a due process body. They can take new evidence. They can take witnesses. So it is important that a common sense preponderance of the evidence standard be used at the CRC level, not just this reasonable person standard. It is confusing. After all, what we're interested in is a credible and legitimate process and a preponderance of the evidence, which means 51% in the common parlance. That's understandable to people. I think it's particularly important that we gather information on whether complainants would prefer IAD versus IPR to do the investigation. The National Lawyers Guild continues to believe that a fully independent, empowered with subpoena power citizen process is the most credible and legitimate process. We at least ought to be asking our citizen complainants what is their preference in terms of process and then act upon that process. So I think it's important to gather that information from citizens, and I thank you.
I have a question about that. How, if a citizen, this is the first experience with something, with an appeal, how would they know the difference between the IAD and the IPR?
I think it would be important to give a neutral, fact-laden description to each complainant. Here is what IPR does, and here's the process. Here is what IAD does, and that's the process. The complainant can then assess that either at the front stage or perhaps at the front stage and the back stage. Now that the process is over, can you tell a citizen complainant, how did you feel about the process? Would you have preferred IPR? Would you have preferred IAD? I think that type of information gathering is very important.
And what would you do with it?
I would then come back to counsel and suggest that there is or is not a groundswell of support for moving toward IPR from ground zero in conducting independent investigation of citizen complaints instead of IPR. That's what I would do. I'm sorry, instead of IAD.
Thank you, sir. Welcome back.
Good afternoon. My name is Jim Ferreras. I'm here on behalf of the Portland Police Commanding Officers Association. Mayor Adams and members of the council, I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. On behalf of the Commanding Officers Association, I want to thank the council and especially Commissioner Leonard for including us in this important project. I also want to thank all of the labor representatives, members of concerned organizations, and citizens of Portland for their hard work and diligence in moving this important effort forward. The work done by the committee was difficult, and as you would expect, we didn't agree on everything, but I think what's important to note is that the conversation about what we don't agree on is sometimes more productive than discussing what we do agree on. Please be assured that the PPCOA is committed to building trust with individual citizens and community groups, and we feel the stakeholder committee was a forum that helped move toward that goal. We look forward to building these relationships, and again, we want to thank everyone who participated and the fact that we were included in the process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Appreciate your time and testimony. The next three?
Next three are Rolando Ayula, Channy Geigel-Teller, and Andrea Meyer. And they'll be followed by Sylvia Zingizer and Dr. Leroy Haynes.
Welcome. I think welcome back for everybody. Glad you're here. Who would like to go first?
Sure. Okay. Mayor Adam, Commissioners Andrea Meyer, Legislative Director for the ACLU of Oregon. I am here today to urge you to accept the report and also to move forward with the recommendations. And I want to focus my comments on process, knowing that the ACLU has voted and joined on the recommendations. And I did want to thank Commissioner Leonard and John Campbell, especially for paving the way for this conversation to happen. I think there were some lessons learned and some lost opportunities that I just want to note briefly. It was an opportunity for everyone to come together. What was unfortunate was maybe a loss of communication at certain points where folks chose not to participate or engage without sharing that decision, so that you've got a report in front of you, but you might have separate correspondences or associations that chose at the last minute not to vote on the ballot. And I think it's unfortunate that happened, because I really do appreciate and want to note that John Campbell, on the ballot that he put together, allowed people to vote in favor, to oppose, to have no opinion, or abstain. And when organizations chose not to participate at the last minute on that ballot, it's a lost opportunity to say there are some things we can agree on and some other things we're not going to agree on, but to meaningfully engage. So it's a lesson learned, and I hope we'll continue to try to move forward. I want to talk briefly about the next steps and urge what might be a difficult or challenging or maybe even a unique process, but one that I hope you will consider doing. Namely, first of all, do move forward on these recommendations and not just wait to see how the full implementation of the changes. I think the issue of whether something, if a particular recommendation should be evaluated in terms of a change made recently, that's part of the discussion. But what I'm hoping is there are five of you up there, and I'm assuming that you are not in consensus on every recommendation. And there might be three votes on one and four votes on another. And somehow I'd love to see the process where all the recommendations are brought forward for you to dialogue and discuss, for us to provide the input, and for each of them to kind of go up and down, rather than a package determined sort of in the offices and in discussion with different stakeholders at separate times. I think that's an important process that will give the community a sense of really, after all this work has been done, being heard and engaging with you on each of the important recommendations and getting a sense of where commissioners are and the mayor is on these decisions. And in some cases, you may be 5-0, and in some 4-1, some 3, and others might go down. So I really hope that you can look at doing something creatively that way. That may take more time, but I think ultimately will be a win for this, because I am assuming that after hopefully this next conversation with an ordinance, there might not be a conversation for a while on these issues, that you'll move on to some other things. And so let's not lose the opportunity and energy right now to take action and move forward. So with that, I appreciate the opportunity and happy to answer any of your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Good afternoon. My name is Rolando Avila, and I'm the Community Outreach Coordinator for the Latino Network. And so the Latino Network is glad that the organizations that represent our diverse communities were taken into account and were a part of the process in police oversight. Given the strong distrust between the police and our communities, this is a step in the right direction. Having been a part of the stakeholders' report and some of those discussions, are executive director believes that the 41 recommendations should go forward, and we want to say thank you to Commissioner Leonard and John Campbell for facilitating the discussion. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Oh, we have one. So sorry.
Skip me?
No.
So my name is Shani Gagley-Teller, and I'm a community organizer at Sisters of the Road. Commissioner Fritz, I love your jacket. I just want to start by thanking...
What about my jacket?
You got a shelf on eBay, Mayor.
She wins. I'm sorry, my clock's ticking. I gotta go.
All right, we'll start. Start you over again.
So I want to start by thanking the commission for hearing us today, but also just several people who were a big part of this process and making sure that Sisters in our community was at the table and our voices were heard. And just want to extend a thank you to Commissioner Leonard and all of the community leaders who I was honored to sit at the table with during this process. And also really want to thank the IPR staff and the auditor for their graciousness in hearing us as well. And feel like Mr. Campbell's a really good choice for facilitator. I feel like he did a really great job, so thank you. Our community is often not used to being or feeling very heard. So we thank you for the process and just allowing us this time. I'll stop rambling. We want to recommend, Sisters wants to recommend, that the council works to adopt all 41 of the recommendations that were made. You'll see in the report that we voted with the community on all the recommendations. And I'm not really going to go into the meat of the report. It's all there, and I feel like my community members around me spoke really well to all those things. But what I want to do is just, I know it's hard because it's I know sometimes we want to move past things and get to different places, but I just want to remind ourselves, so it's the first day of December, the year's almost over, but this year has been incredibly hard as far as police issues go. We lost 3 community members, 2 African-American men in this community and 1 houseless man, and those deaths are still being felt. And I'm not saying that the 41 recommendations that are in this report would have actually prevented their deaths, but what it is 41 substantial steps forward to making sure that communities feel that the systems that have the power to take our lives or protect them are being held accountable in some way. So it's just building that trust. And I guess what I wanted to say is that I wanted to say what you can expect from Sisters over the next year or so as far as this stuff goes, and then what we hope to get from you, what we expect from you, I guess, is just that Sisters is working on putting a lot more time and energy into educating our community, both the folks that are in our jurisdiction, in our vicinity every day, around what this stuff means and how it impacts their lives, but then also the thousands and thousands of people that are in our extended community that keep us running every day through their donations and volunteering and all that. So we're going to work really hard to make sure that they can understand this stuff because, like, it's hard to understand, but it's so important that the city understands this stuff, right? So that's what we commit to over the next months and year. And then what we're hoping from you is not only that you hear us and you've invited us to the table and we appreciate that, but really giving some, like, some steps forward that are actually concrete. You know, I hear you saying you're going to get back together and discuss this and ways to move forward, but we kind of need times and dates. Like, that's how we're going to build trust with our community and make sure that they didn't think that they're just sending another staff person to some table to write some report that's not ever going to be heard and is going to get filed in some library somewhere, you know. So that's what we hope.
Thanks. You for your testimony. Thank you all. Appreciate it very much.
The last two who signed up are Sylvia Zengazer and Dr. Leroy Haynes.
Good afternoon. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. How are you? Welcome back. Please begin.
I'm Sylvia Zengazer, and I represent the National Alliance on Mental Illness for Multnomah County. And so it's NAMI Multnomah. And we just want to thank Commissioner Leonard and the council, and John Campbell and Alicia for guiding us through this, and for the opportunity to be on this committee. And our concern, of course, is what happens to people who are mentally ill, who get involved in police situations, and recommend that you accept this report and hope that we can keep the dialogue going. And if we need to get back together again to hone some of these recommendations or change them, that we keep that opportunity open, that we just keep on talking and working together. Thank you all very much.
Sylvia, thank you and other volunteers of NAMI Multnomah for working with us on the other project, the Safer PDX project, looking at how do we help people get services before they come into contact with the police and how can we provide services in a different way than having police being the frontline responders.
That's
correct. I appreciate you working in that project.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I am the Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, the Vice President of the Bonner Ministerial Alliance and Chairperson of the MA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. To the distinguished mayor and the illustrious members of the City Council.
Could you say that again, please?
To the distinguished mayor and illustrious members of the City Council.
Carl, did you get that?
Okay. I want to thank the facilitator, John Campbell, for the excellent work, and Commissioner Leonard, and for the mayor and the commissioners for their representation on this critically important committee. On behalf of the Urbana Ministry Alliance and the MA Coalition, I come to give support to the recommendations to the Police Oversight Stakeholder Committee. With the strengthening of the IPR and the implementation of these recommendations of the committee, I believe that we will take a major step in forging together a new day in police oversight and police accountability in the city of Portland, as well as build renewed trust and support in relationship between the Portland police and the community, and especially people of color. So I come, first of all, commending the committee for their hard work and their effort and for the leadership of this council. But I remind us to let's keep the process moving forward to build a better peacekeeping force. And let us be always reminded to keep the emphasis on the word independent with the IPR. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you both for your testimony. All right, additional council discussion before we vote on accepting the report.
I'm assuming that just for the benefit of our audience, we have both the report before us. We also have letters and other documents we've received from some of the participants and some organizations. And Commissioner Leonard, I'm assuming that becomes the complete record of this hearing.
It's true, including a response from the auditor, the police bureau.
Mr. Bingham, I think, submitted something.
Right.
There's five or six, CopWatch. So all of those documents which were furnished to us then become part of the record. Right.
So What are the next steps?
The next steps would be for us to, first of all, decide if we want to have two different approaches, that is, take the items that are the most agreed upon that Mr. Campbell identified in his presentation, bring those forward. That's one option. Another option is to do as Andrea Meyer suggested, to have a list of all of the recommended changes that the council vote on. We could wait until we saw how the changes that we made to the IPR ordinance are working at the police bureau and making adjustments to that if we think that's necessary, or a combination of all of those different three approaches. I specifically didn't want to bring here what I thought was the best ordinance out of all of the various discussions that have occurred. The auditor has an interest, IPR has an interest, the police bureau has an interest, certainly the mayor is commissioner in charge of the Police Bureau has an interest, and frankly, my perspective has changed dramatically since a year ago today. The Police Bureau is quite a different organization today than it was 1 year ago, and I think it's important to recognize that and acknowledge that the leadership and the team created by the chief of the Police Bureau, Mike Reese, is committed to these kinds of processes, and I hope, given my history here and my prior criticisms of the Police Bureau, that people put some credibility in me acknowledging that I see a completely different approach at the very top of the Police Bureau in welcoming transparency and welcoming questions and welcoming anything that needs to be done to make sure their officers are held accountable. Having said that, as I know you join with me, Commissioner Saltzman, we have to balance that with making sure that our officers aren't put in a position where they have to second guess at a critical moment in order either to protect the citizenry that they're sworn to protect or themselves or fellow officers. So achieving that balance is I think, difficult enough for me to have wanted not to just come forward with an ordinance at this point and say, here's what I'm telling recommended you, Council, from the various stakeholder meetings we've had and the various discussions we've had. I think it deserves a broader discussion that includes all the parties I've identified in the city and outside of the city to identify just precisely what, if anything, needs to be done at this point to improve the process that we've already improved upon.
Well, I guess, and I respect what you're saying, I suppose there's like 41 recommendations,
right,
and the total consensus is 5, 6, or was it?
Well, I think there
17 is
complete.
No disagreement at all about 17.
Okay. But I think we need to even look at those 17 in the context of the of what the police